The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And every Tuesday, we visit with Congressman William Timmons. Good morning, sir. Happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Good morning, Joey. Great to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving week to you as well. I'm home for at least 9 days, and I couldn't be happier. It's wonderful here.
Yeah, well, now you say at least 9 days. Is there, will you guys be going back into session before the end of the year?
I was about to bring that up. So we are supposed to go back in, a week from today. But there is a rumor that the speaker is unable to herd the cats, and she is going to wait until she can get some of her deals cut. And so there might be a chance we do not go back next week. And I just want to point out to everybody listening, the CARES Act, phase three of COVID relief, passed, I think, what are we, about 8 months ago now? So all the businesses that got PPP loans that, you know, were given a lifeline during COVID, they got those loans, you know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago. And here we are, 7, 8 months later, and everyone in D.C. agrees that we need to do another PPP loan package. We need to make it more targeted. There has to be a revenue disruption component. We need to help people that are unemployed because their businesses are shut down. And the speaker is just dragging her feet because she wants to write another $1 or $2 trillion check to state and local governments to bail them out financially, because places like California and Illinois and New York, their governments are going to literally collapse because they have so much debt from all these random expenditures they do, whether it's union pensions or the prelude you play of us not doing anything is truer than ever.
Yep, and that was a few months back when we did that, and nothing has changed, it appears. All right, back on the COVID and the CARES Act and all, I read just in the last couple of days, and I don't remember all the details, but where, but basically, there's like $400 billion. No, maybe it's $4 billion. I forget the number, but there's a lot of money out there somewhere that was part of that that is being requested back because it hasn't been spent. It hasn't been allocated, and so they want to reallocate it. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the original CARES Act was $3 trillion. I mean, you know, that's just an unfathomable amount of money. That's more than we spend every year on, well, I mean, our budget in 2019 was $4.3 trillion. So, I mean, you know, it's an unfathomable amount of money. And a lot of it didn't get spent because Greenville County's still trying to spend it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Greenville County got $120 million and they're still trying to spend it. And then you look at, there's just so many different pots of money that it's hard to track it all. And, it just hadn't gotten done, but yeah, you know, there's still people out there that are hurting.
It's almost as if they're trying. And when I say they, different levels of local government, state government, they're trying to just come up with ways to spend it because it's sitting there in bank accounts. And when you mentioned a minute ago, a more targeted, way of spending this, it seems that's what we need to do, because you hear every day of businesses and people who are hurting, who need help, but it's like they can't get the money.
If you haven't had income disruption, if you haven't lost your job, and if your business hasn't had revenue disruption, you do not need the federal government to write you a check. We have almost $30 trillion of debt. We are going to have to make severe changes to our spending and to our revenue in the next few years. And we need to be pragmatic about this. We can't just cast a wide net. We got to be targeted. And, you know, that's what the Republicans in D.C. are advocating for. And We're still a trillion or two away from each other on spending for this next COVID relief package. And it's shameful. It really is just shameful. And
On our guest line this morning, Congressman William Timmons. All right, we learned yesterday that the GSA has notified Joe Biden they'll begin cooperating. They'll make available the $7.3 million in the transition funds. Is this a concession? Is this the beginning of the end, I guess you could say, to the Trump campaign? Or will his legal challenges continue, you think?
I think his legal challenges are going to continue, and I think it's responsible. I mean, at the end of the day, if the legal challenges do fail, and if Vice President Biden is certified, he needs to be able to begin his administration. So I think it's responsible. But you know, the other side of that is we're not done yet. We're going to still count every single legal vote, and unfortunately there's some states where that's just never going to be possible. And we are working hard on election reform. You know, the federal government does not need to tell states how to do it, how to hold elections, but the other side of that is states need to be able to create a perception that they have done their job. And I join many of your listeners and many people all over the country that you know, the fact that we still are counting ballots in New York and California, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Yeah. We have five races that have not been called yet. And guess what? This is the funny part. All the Republicans are up by a little bit. I mean, you know, they're going to keep finding ballots until they can knock them off. But, you know, I was in orientation with Young Kim, who is a new member this year out of California. She was in orientation 2 years ago, but she was up by 3,000 votes, and then 3 weeks later, she lost.
Wow!
So you know, they just kept finding more ballots, and you know that happened this year as well. But she had enough lead that the absentee and the counties that take the longest to certify their results did not alter the outcome, and she got elected. She's going to be sworn in.
Yeah.
But we can't have that. We got to have faith. We got to have an election process that causes people to believe in the results. And I don't know if that's just voting. I think that it starts with polling. It goes to the media. It goes to Twitter and Facebook. You know, all of these different things come together to this election snafu that has been created in 2020. So we got some work to do in Congress, and I'm looking forward to getting to work.
Yeah. Yesterday, Congressman, I talked a good bit about the Carter Baker commission, I guess you would call it. But back in 2005, former President Jimmy Carter, former Secretary of State Jim Baker, they took a look at what happened in 2000 with the Bush-Gore. And they came up with a number of suggestions. Had those been implemented back then, I don't think we would be having the issues that we're having today. Is there a chance, or is it likely that we will finally learn from the mistakes that we made this year? And as you mentioned a minute ago, have some meaningful election reforms so that it doesn't happen again?
Joey, it all comes down to the fact that I believe that it is very reasonable to ask someone for an identification to vote. That is my view.
Yep.
I think that is so basic. It is not even a conversation starter. Like that just should happen.
Yeah.
And I have colleagues across the aisle that would tell me that I am racist because of that. So,
Jimmy Carter seemed to suggest the same thing in the Carter Baker report. Jimmy Carter talked about, mail-in votes, how that opened things up for fraud. So they need to listen to their former president.
Joey, I hope we can get something done here, but like I said, we're so far away on certain just foundational issues. I'm not sure how we're going to find common ground, but we're going to have these conversations, and I'm going to get as many of my colleagues on the aisle talking about how universal mail-in voting is not ripe for fraud. Because, I mean, anybody that says that should not be allowed to serve in Congress. Because universal mail-in voting, mailing a ballot to someone that did not request a ballot, that is the worst policy for how to conduct an election that I can even fathom. And they did it in New Jersey. and they did it in a bunch of other states. And guess what? Every state they did it in had disparate results for Democrats. Look at that. Yep. So yep. If you can't win the game, we're going to change the rules and cheat.
Funny how that works. All right, I need to ask you for a bit of advice here, Congressman. Of course, we're watching the two races down in Georgia, very important. And, you know, we're constantly reminding people in Georgia. We have a lot of listeners in that northeast part of Georgia. We're going to go down January the 4th and do a special edition of the Morning Answer, probably in Hartwell or Toccoa or somewhere down there, just to kind of help turn out the vote and all. Yesterday, Senator Perdue offered to pay AOC's airfare to come to Georgia to campaign for his opponent. I'm thinking about maybe asking AOC to make a surprise appearance on the Morning Answer. What do you think? Should I or should I not?
I think you should definitely do that, but be prepared. She's fiery. She's fiery. And, you know, speaking of the Georgia Senate race, you know, that election day is January 5th. I had a call recently with Senator Perdue. They are going to be pushing to have 2.5 million votes before Christmas. They are not going to wait and tell people to vote on election day. You know, whether the outcome of the Georgia race was affected by people waiting and whatever, I mean, I think that Senator Perdue and Senator Leffler are correct in saying that why leave anything to chance? Maybe there's an ice storm on January 5th. So we're gonna help them to, you know, it's not ballot harvesting. It is helping people absentee vote. And you know, they're gonna get 2.5 million votes from their people in, and that's gonna be it. And they're gonna celebrate at Christmas.
Yep.
So let's help them get it done. There's opportunities to volunteer. The future of the free world depends on it. We got two seats there. We're going to win both of them.
Well, I like your attitude. Hey, Congressman, have a wonderful Thanksgiving back home in the district. We'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, same to you. Be safe and be careful not to have more than, you know, 5 or 6 people at your house. You don't want to. You don't want to. You know.
Well,
crazy
I have
going on in California.
I have removed the tracking device from our turkey, so.
I love it. Well, hey, we're going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you do as well. Take care.
You too. Congressman William Timmons.